God, part 7. Abraham believed God, part 7. And, you know, guys, I'll just be honest with you. Like I would lie to you. Most of the times I'm honest with you. Sometimes I lie to you.
Oh,
God. Yeah, goodness gracious. I see the sign on this billboard. It's down there at St. Paul. It says, do something every day that will draw you closer to God. I'm going to tell you why, guys. He's in you. How much closer can you? And when did this thing become a work that you had to do? And could you imagine the anxiety of some heart who really has a heart for God and wants to be near, and they're going to hear something that I can do to make myself closer to God? And then, you know, when this fails, what condemnation and what anxiety it's going to produce. And I mean, sometimes for the people, I want to go rescue them, and I want to go hit the pastors upside the head with them something. I mean, these are God's people here. People, I mean, really going and looking for the Lord and not knowing where he is. And it saddens me. It really does. It really, really saddens me that we have that. Do something every day that could draw you nearer to God. I mean, I don't know. That just blows my mind, guys, that message is preached still yet today. And all this is law, guys. That's all it is law. It's law, it's bondage, it's I mean, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I get aggravated with those things, and people live in that. And God's people should be free. As Patty said, this is not just a coming out. This is a going in. I will bring them in. I will bring them in. And you know what, guys? He has done that. I'm going to tell you something here, guys. I'm going to do the free part first. Then we'll get into the money sermon. Right. You know. We need to buy a plate. But our bodies, our physical bodies, guys, is in this world. You all know that. It hurts. It gets hungry. It gets tired. As Wednesday night, it gets smelly and stinky and sweaty. It really does. But your soul has already been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Your soul already has by the work of Jesus Christ. I just want you to understand what has already taken place. Now, he would tell Abraham, who believed God, is the title of this sermon, lift up now thine eyes. So if he had to tell Abraham to lift up his eyes, then where were Abraham's eyes? They were in the lower realm, seeing everything through natural eyes, natural circumstances, natural things, you know, trying to do this. And what is that? That's always bondage and trouble, and it always leaves the heart longing for more. It always does. But he says, lift up now thine eyes into a land that I will show thee. And then what's he begin to do? He begins to reveal his son. So your soul already is. So what is the problem then with what I just told you? The problem is we need to lift up now our eyes. That's our problem, guys. It's not anything we have to do, go, say, flip, jump. Get a prayer chain. It's just lift up now thine eyes and see. That, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, you know, come see a man. You know, I want people that comes with a desire on their heart and they say, sir, we would see Jesus. We don't want nothing else. We want to see him. You know what Paul says is this, when it please God. Can you imagine what pleases God is to reveal his son? Now we, in our religious mind, this is what makes God happy. You clean your plate off and, you know, you do all those things that you're supposed to do. But what pleases God is when he reveals his son. Now, you know, what do I have to do with that? Lift up my eyes and see what he has revealed. That's my part. That's my obedience, is lifting up my eyes to see that beautiful. I mean, we sing these songs about him, guys. Glorious. I'm going to tell you, we don't have a clue what glorious is. I mean, we've talked about this so much, but Isaiah saw the Lord. In what kind of state did he see the Lord? High and lifted up. I mean, that's the state that he saw this glorious Lord. High and lifted up. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he wasn't just high and lifted up. And he was on the throne. He wasn't fixing the throne. The throne was already fixed and he was seated on it. And what does Paul say? You know what? He said, Paul saw our day. Or Isaiah saw our day. What do you mean? He saw the Lord high and lifted up, seated on the throne. And what does Paul say? Paul says, we're seated together. Yeah. In heavenly places. I wonder where. There's only one seat in heavenly places, guys, and it's called the mercy seat. Only one seat. We're seated with him in heavenly places, and his train filled the temple. I better read a scripture. That's the free part. Now we get into the money. I'm in 1 Corinthians. I've been on these verses for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know. Sundays, Wednesdays, whatever. I got to go back to them. Lena said it was okay. I checked it over with Lena. She said it's okay if I go back to them again. So I've got to go back to these same verses again. I can't help it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to start this time, not where we did last time. I'm going to start in verse 12. And sometimes I just love the way a verse will kick off when it says now. And man, there's a whole lot of nows in there. And I just, you know, I always ask the question, when is now? And I'm going to just tell you a little secret, guys. That's the only time you live in is now. We spend our time, we in our natural mind are dispensationalists. Do you know what I mean by that? There's only one place that we can live in, and that's the now. But as dispensationalists, we're always living in the past. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. And it usually leads condemnation. Shoulda did this. Shoulda acted this way. Or we're living in the future. Even if it's for 1 minute from now, we're always there of what I need to do, what I should do, what's fixing to take place, instead of the now, the moment. But it says now. We have received. And I always get mixed up, but you got to pay attention when you're reading a scripture. Now we have received. What have we received? And it says, not. We have received not. Now this probably, you know, sometimes I always think maybe our English and our grammar, but you know, as we read these scriptures before, it's talking about the natural mind, and we made the comparison to the natural mind and the spiritual mind and all this. And then Paul's breaking this down here. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. Now he mentions that over here earlier. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, What world is he talking about? What does he mean? And that's why I wanted to go back and say, you've received not the wisdom of this world. What world was he talking about? To Paul, there was only two worlds. And I'm going to tell you what, there's only two now. To them speaking there, he was speaking of the world of Judaism, the world of the law. But I'm going to tell you what that is to you and me, where the rubber meets the road. It's the world of religion. Because that's all there is. There's that world, and then there's the kingdom of his dear son. Now, if we have already been seated with him in heavenly places, we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. But we try to bring that natural mind over into this. Our eyes are not lifted up, they're down. So we're trying to bring all this natural stuff over here. He says, you have not received that spirit. So what's that tell you? There is a spirit of that world. I mean, the scripture says that the prince of the air rules that. Satan rules that world. So if you're battling, I want you to think about what world you're in, because over here in this world, the Lord is high and lifted up, seated on the throne, and there is no war over here. There cannot be anything, because there's a big old door here. And you can read in the scriptures that no abominations, no nothing undefiled, no darkness can come over here. It's a big old door called the cross. And can't nothing get over here. But you have brought your soul over here. So the only thing that can be over here is your imagination of I'm at war. And you're not. But look. You have received not the spirit of this world. Now let me just show you a couple of verses here. Now in Ephesians, he's going to talk about this world a little bit. I'm in Ephesians 2, and you, see, sometimes Paul will bring this right down to you. And you hath he quickened. Now he's going to give us our state as it used to be. And you hath he quickened, who were dead, in what kind of state? You were dead in trespasses and sins. I told you, there's only two states of death. There is dead in sin and trespasses and sin, or dead to it. The difference is the cross. And Paul is going to start out and say, this is where we were. All of us start out in this state of dead in trespasses and sin. Now, what does he mean, dead? Dead means separated from God. That's how we started out. Because remember, there's a big cross right here. There's a door, and it has us separated. This was our state. And he says, where in time past. Now, how do we start out Corinthians? Now. But right here, Paul is referring to time past because we haven't got up to the now yet. Where in time past ye walked according to the course, same thing, of this world. According to what? The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of what? Disobedience. What were they disobedient to? Because I always wondered that, you know. Because, man, I grew up in a religion that says, if you're not obedient, God will beat you with many stripes. You guys ever heard any of that stuff? Oh, them to know to do good and do it not. He's beaten with many stripes. And, you know, I come to the conclusion, Derek, that I was better off before I ever knew the Lord, because now once I got involved with him, I found out this guy's ready to kill me at my first mistake. And if he ain't going to kill me, he's going to kill my kids and everybody else around. And you know, I just found out that I can't serve him, and some of the times I don't even want to serve him. I'm scared of him. I swear to goodness, guys. I would read Paul and I would close the book in anger, put it down and say, I cannot live up to this. And I would be afraid to meet Paul. If I knew Paul the apostle was coming to Rhythms of Grace, I'd miss that weekend because I don't want to be around him, because he would say, I know you, you demon possessed punk. You know, a few other names. I'd go, oh, supposed to be the preacher. I don't want to show up. I'm going to the race. So, you know, I mean, I was scared, but I didn't understand. All I seen was an angry God. That's all I seen. I never saw the Lamb. I saw an angry God. That's what was presented to me. That's how I viewed him. The children of disobedience. The children of disobedience. What does it mean? He came to his own, and his own received him not. They were disobedient. And guys, it's a hard thing, because what I'm trying to do is tell everybody, I want us to lift up our eyes and see him. I want us to lift up our hearts. I want us to turn our hearts to see him. But when you got a view of him as being some big mad guy, you might not want to see him. Yeah. So, I mean, here's Paul and his presentation and all these things that Paul went through. I mean, you got to understand, Paul had just came back from having Deacon Stephen bludgeoned to death with stones, held to coats while they took stones and beat Deacon Stephen to death, and thought he was doing God a favor.
Yeah.
Zealous for God. So zealous he was disobedient to Jesus, because his mission was to have everyone who said anything about Jesus killed. I mean, he's in the same mindset as Adolf Hitler. If you want to take it that, he was going to wipe everybody out. But what happened on the road to Damascus? What happened? He saw the Lord high and lifted up.
Yeah.
That's what he said. He didn't, I mean, that's what he saw. He saw the Lamb of God. And was he angry?
No.
Oh, Lord, this Lamb of God began to speak to him and call him by name. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Now, let me keep on reading here. He's talking about this. We were dead in trespasses and sin, and time passed. We walked according to the prince of the power, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of living in times past. How? In the lust of our flesh. Now, guys, we got to, I want you to understand, guys, we take these words, lust of our flesh, that means he's lusting. We are, and our minds always go to a place with it. But I'm going to show you what this means. Lust of our flesh. Because what we do with our natural minds, guys, is we always attempt to justify ourselves. Because we say lust of the flesh, then the first thing we do is say, well, I'm not like that. Thank God I'm not like that. Paul says we all. He wants everybody to know that we all, in time past, walked according to the prince of power of this hour, were the children of disobedience, walked according to the lust of the flesh. We all. But see, what the Judaizers would do is say, well, that's not me. I used to, but not anymore. I don't do that. No, I've got... Now I'm getting myself closer to God.
Yeah.
Right? I'm working my way. Working my way to heaven.
Yeah.
Now here's what he says. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Remember in Corinthians, we've been comparing these two minds, the natural mind and the spirit. So over here in this natural mind, we're fulfilling it. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, see, in spite of all of that, here's the angry God I'm going to describe. In spite of all of that, disobedient, selfish, fulfilling the lust of our flesh and of our mind, but God. You see, he didn't look down there and say, you bunch of, I'm just going to beat y'all into submission. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, even when we were in this, dead in sin. Now let me ask you a question, guys. I just want to throw this at you. Have you guys ever been to a graveyard? Okay. How many dead people up there are praying? I just got to throw that out there. I got to ask the question. How many dead people up there are saying, oh, I want to laugh? They're dead. So I want you to see something. Guys, in our state of being, we weren't even looking for him. We weren't doing a thing for him, but yet in his great mercy, he came to where we were.
Yes.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
I want you to get that. None. I mean, everything we were doing, Paul says, was fulfilling the lust of our minds and of our flesh. In other words, I don't need God to come where I'm at. I'm good enough to go where he is.
Yeah.
I'm working my way right on to heaven. Jesus, you stand back, holler if I need you. I got it. Right? In spite of all of that, he came right where we are, born of a woman, made of flesh and blood, just like it as we are, came right into that, came right into the curse and became a curse for us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us, whereat, together. Now what does he mean, quickened us together? Quickened us together. With Christ by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can you see the transition? See, we're born in this natural place over here, in this natural mind, in this natural realm, and then in this natural realm we become religious. And remember back over here in Corinthians, it says, we have received not the spirit of this world. We didn't have to receive the spirit of this world, guys. We're born with it. Do you understand? We are born with it. That is our natural condition. Natural condition. And I just got to show you something here. I got to show you something else. The spirit of this world. Let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 13. I told you I had a few scriptures to read you. Ezekiel. Because I don't even know if I got this in order or not. I don't know. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, I'm in Ezekiel 13. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. Now, let me tell you what he's doing here, guys. I mean, he's son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel. Tell all the other preachers. I'll just break this down and bring it right to you. Tell all the other preachers that are prophesying and saying to them that prophesy out of what? Their own hearts. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Now remember, he says over here, we fulfill the lust of our flesh. He's telling all these same preachers right here who are doing what? Fulfilling the lust of their flesh. They are preaching where? Out of their own hearts. Out of their own desires. Look at verse 3. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto, and he calls them foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Now he says, you have not received that spirit. But these guys, they have that spirit. They have seen nothing. And what do I mean seen nothing? They've seen a lot of things. But they hadn't seen the one. And if you have not seen the one, the light, then you're in darkness. Because there's only one light. And he is that light. So they are prophesying out of their own mind. Guys, I'm talking about believing. Because we got all these churches, and in God's view, there's only one church, and that church is the body of his son. But we've divided that church up into Pentecostal and Baptist and Methodist and Catholics and everything else. So when is it, and we say, well, we're just divided because we all believe different. Well, I'm telling you what, as long as we got our natural mind into it, we're all going to be separated. We talked Wednesday night about what does it mean to be one. You're a one. Now, you know naturally so, guys, that I'm never going to be one with Derek. He's got his body and I got my body. But yet, God, what is this view? Is this some spiritual, mystic thing that our minds can't get a hold of? Well, let me just tell you something, guys. When we are all beholding the same thing, then we're all one. And there's only one thing for us. Not a bunch of things about him. Not about I believe this and I believe this. We're just out of my own heart and out of your own heart. But when we lift up our eyes and we just all behold whom, then we're all just standing there as one. Around the throne, the scripture says, beholding him. And we say, hey, Derek, you remember we singing that song about the Lord is glorious? Man, I had no idea. Look at that. Derek said, oh, yeah, look at that man. It's, you know, we can't hardly even behold the glory of the Lord. I had my view of glory before. And I said, Derek, here's what I think of glory. And Derek said, Jim, I think this is glorious. Well, Derek, I'm sorry. I think it's this way. And so, Derek, well, I'm going to go start my own church over here. I'm going to call it the Glorious Church. Well, I'm going to call mine the Glorious Church Part B. So we split ways. Right? Because out of our own hearts. But when we behold him who was glorious, we're like the Queen of Sheba that came and we say, my God, I have. Wasn't even told. I had my definition of glorious. Amen, sister. Yeah? Amen. I get amen from somewhere. I'll take it wherever I get it all the game. I mean, anywhere I can get it. Now listen. He says, these prophets have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like foxes in the deserts. My God, didn't he tell the Song of Solomon, the little foxes do what? They spoil the vine, they mess everything up. He's telling these preachers, you guys are messing it all up. You're talking about things. Here's what you got to do to get closer to Jesus. Here's the 10 steps to be saved. Here's all this and here's all this. My God, how about coming and beholding him? That's all you're ever going to hear here, guys. I'm just telling you, if I preach anything else to you, throw me out. I just want you to turn your hearts to see Jesus. That's it. This ain't I got to do this and I got to do that. I didn't pray enough when I got here. You start seeing Jesus, your prayer will be, Lord, I want to see more. Let me see him again. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Do you see what he's saying here? You've not made the hedge up, the gap. Remember, there was a great gulf between the rich man and Lazarus, wasn't there? They've not made that up. What stands in the gap, guys? It's the cross. Not made the hedge. You know what the hedge is, guys? That's the boundaries, right? What is the boundaries? The boundaries is the wall. What is that? That's none other than the boundaries of Jesus Christ. See the length and the breadth and the depth and the height. Nobody talking about Jesus. I want to talk about my view of salvation and 10 steps you need to do to get closer to Jesus. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. They have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have you not seen a vain vision? And have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. I mean, how many times does people say, I think the Lord told me this. And the Lord says, I have not said it. But yet they're going around prophesying in the Lord's name. Thus saith the Lord. Now, and there's people who ask these honest questions. What should we believe? Because this one says this. This one says that. Well, who's right? Now, that's why we're on this lesson. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. My hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity. Now, I've told you what vanity is. Vanity is nothing but emptiness. It's useless. And what is our condition of our soul without Christ? It's empty. But you've been filled with all fullness, the fullness that filleth. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity, and that divine lies they shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Now stay with me. Because he's giving you a double reason here. They have seduced my people, saying, peace. And there was no peace. And one built upon a wall, and lo, others dabbed it with untempered mortar, saying to them which dab it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and stormy winds shall rend it. Man, when I was reading this last night, and this word, stormy wind shall rend it. And then I was just doing a word study, and I was just seeing on this wind, and you know the first thing that came to my mind is Jesus standing there, and he's talking to them about building their house. And they that build the house upon the rock, the wind shall come, and the rains shall descend upon it, but it shall stand. But the others who've built their house upon the sand shall fall. Now, how did we start this thing off? You have received not the spirit of this world. And then we read in Ephesians, who walked according to the lust of the flesh. And right here, they have prophesied out of the desires of their heart. And he says, when the stormy wind shall come. And I got to thinking, and you know our minds, guys, our natural mind is, we're always going, we're thinking, oh Lord, man, I'm going through a storm in my life. Yeah. And we always pray down, oh Lord, I'm going through a storm right now. Going through a storm. I wonder if that's what he's talking about. Let me tell you, guys, he's talking about a stormy wind. I'm right here in Ezekiel. Let me show you something. Let me just show you a little something here. I'm in Ezekiel 1, chapter 4. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. A great cloud, a fire enfolding itself, and the brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof was the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. What is he seeing? He's seeing a great storm coming. He says, I'm going to destroy this wall with a storm. Ezekiel is seeing this storm enfolding itself, and fire and wind and hail and rain and all of this other stuff, and the color of amber, and he sees it coming out of the north. He calls it a great cloud. And also in the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and their appearance, and they had the likeness of a man. My God, he saw the storm coming. And the storm is a man named Jesus Christ. He was a great storm to all those who would not receive him. But to as many as did receive him, to them they had built their house upon the rock. It's just like the same thing as Noah and all of them others. The rains came and destroyed everything else. What is he talking about? Guys, he ain't talking about nothing but the cross. Nothing but the cross. Now listen, let me go over here and show you something here in Matthew. I showed you these verses, but let me go back. Because here's where we get messed up. Matthew 7. I know Matthew's in this Bible here somewhere. Matthew 7. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And see, we're jumping up with the religious preacher saying, see, I told you, you've got to go do something. You've got to go do all these beatitudes. I don't mean you got to love your neighbor. I don't even like my neighbor. How am I supposed to love him if I don't like him? Still, you're blind. You know what I'm about? Don't even like him. Let your dog comes up, does in my yard, and I walk through it going into the house. You guys don't know what I'm talking about? But I gotta love him, all right? This other guy's talking trash about me, but I gotta turn the other cheek. You know, and we do all them, and right here we got confirmation. Do with them. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man. So we jump up on the rock, and what did Israel say when they heard? They said, Moses, this God, we've heard his voice over here. We've seen the fire on the mountain. We don't want nothing to do with it. But I tell you what, you go see what he says and just let him know. Everything he says for us to do, we'll do it. So we jump in these scriptures and we say, oh, do it. I've got to go do them. I'm loving my neighbor. And we walk around in this stupid self-righteousness thinking I'm loving my neighbor. And I'm doing good to them that despitefully use me. And I'm turning the other cheek and all of this. And this whole time, if the scriptures ain't about you. We went over this Monday night and Wednesday night. The scriptures are never a testimony of you. They are a testimony of Jesus Christ. He is the one who turned the other cheek. He is the one who loves his neighbor. He is the one who laid his life down for the sheep. Not you, it was never you. You were where? Dead in trespasses and sins. And God in his great mercy wherewith he has loved us has raised us up together with Christ Jesus. Do you see the difference? Let me tell you what a doer of the word is. James tells us, don't be a hearer only, but be a doer of the word. And we went over this. A doer of the word is one who turns his heart to see him who is the fulfillment of it all. He waits to see the Lord. He doesn't go do something other than, as John, I heard the voice behind me and I turned to see him that spoke. That's a doer of the word, guys. That's a doer of the word. Anything else, you're going to put the yoke of religion on you, and you're going to try to carry it around. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And now, let me tell you what this stormy wind is. This stormy wind comes into your life and says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The stormy wind says, I have no life but Christ. Anything else, guys, is destroyed because you thought I gave my heart to Jesus. And I told you, and I'll tell you all the time, Jesus never wanted your heart. He wants you to have his. See, he's a giver. He's a giver. God so loved the world that he took from me my best and said, I could really get you cleaned up. No, he said, I'm doing away with you and I'm going to give you my son. Here's what you need to do. Receive him. Let me show you something, guys. Go to Revelation chapter 6. Now, I mean, here's the stormy wind. Here's the stormy wind. Revelation 6 and verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. Here's that storm. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became blood. What's he talking about, guys? He told Israel, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill, but what were they? They were type and shadow of the real light that would come. Jesus stood there and said, I am the light of the world. He told them, you were the light, but what light were they? They were just a reflection of the light. They were the moon. And he says, now this sun and the moon is being done away. When was this take place, guys? It took place at the cross. That's when it took place. That's when the sun was darkened. That's when the moon turned to blood. He's talking about the cross, guys. What is this? This is I'm the revelation of Jesus Christ. The stars of heaven fell into the earth. What did he tell Abraham's natural seed? They'll be like the stars of heaven. He said, this first heaven and this first earth has passed away. All the natural's passed away. Now it's a spiritual. And he's telling them, the stars fell into the earth as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs wind. When it's shaken of a mighty wind, a stormy wind, I'm going to send a wind down there. Jesus came up to the fig tree, didn't he? And the fig tree had no fruit on it. And he said, cursed is this fig tree. He's talking about natural Judaism, everything under the law. But listen, Jesus became that curse. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He became that. And what? How was this fig tree wiped out? By this stormy wind, this Ezekiel thing that Ezekiel saw coming out of the north, enfolding itself in fire and looking like the four living creatures, the face of a man and the ox, the eagle. Oh, do you see, guys? And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men, rich men, chief captains, mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the rocks and of the mountains. Do you understand? They wanted to hide themselves in their same place. Please, God, don't take this away from me. I have been a Baptist my whole life. I won't know how to function any other way. Please do not remove me. Israel did the same thing when he says, 430 years you've been in bondage, but I am going to bring you out that I might bring you into my holy mountain. Yeah. And they in their hearts desired to go back to eat the leeks and the garlics and everything. They said, we're going to make our own captain. We're going back. I don't like it over here where I'm not king. I could be king in my own world. But over here, there's only one king high and lifted up. And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that does what? That sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Have y'all ever seen an angry lamb? I just got to throw that out there, bring you some questions. What is the wrath of the Lamb? I mean, you know, I could just turn it on CNN right now and I see where a pit bull eat up a kid. Pit bull attacked two guys. Have y'all ever turned on CNN? Angry lamb breaks out into the school, kills 14. Huh? Y'all know it ain't going to happen, right? You know naturally so. A lamb ain't going to do that. So what is the wrath of the Lamb? They're tormented, and Paul would say they're tormented just by seeing him. Because in their hearts, they said, God, no. I wanted a throne for myself. I thought you was making me the king. I thought the vineyard was mine. I thought everything that you did was for me, and I was the center of your attention. I didn't know the center of your attention was Jesus Christ. I didn't want no part of that. And for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? What position was Isaiah in when he saw the Lord high and lifted up? Fell on his face. What was the position of Paul when he went blind? What was the position of John when he saw the Lord amongst the candlestick? Fell on his face and said, what was Ezekiel when he saw him? Had to be lifted up by the hair of his head. What will be your position when you see the Lord in glory? Oh Lord, I had no idea. But he will come and lay his right hand upon you and raise you up. Yes. You will see where you are. Because you will see him as he is. How is he? High and lifted up. You will see that you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. But it won't become apparent until he appears. But see, here we are, doers of the word. We're waiting. We're waiting for that. Now, let me give you something else here. Now, remember, I haven't even went very far on this. Receive not the spirit of this world. But now go to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. Because we're trying to figure out what's the difference. Guys, how can I know the difference? How do I know who's saying what? Because that's what the people are saying. Well, this one says, I believe this. This one says, I believe this. How many times do you hear, guys, we're in the end of the world?
Yeah.
All I know is this, guys. I don't remember a whole lot before. I remember a little bit. I was a kid when Gerald Ford was around. And I know when Jimmy Carter got elected president, he wasn't the Antichrist, but the Ayatollah was the Antichrist. And then Ronald Reagan, that 666 in his name, he was the Antichrist. And then Bill Clinton, God help us, he was the Antichrist. And I mean, this goes on. And how many today tell us Obama's Antichrist? Everybody voted for the Antichrist. He got elected 2 terms. I can't help it. So now Hillary's going to be the Antichrist. You see what I'm talking about? It's always the end of time, and it's all doom and gloom. And you know what he tells them? Same prophet, y'all ain't seen nothing. You have not seen a thing. That's the spirit of this world. All it is, have not received that spirit. You've been translated out of that.
Yeah.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, why are they a false prophet? Because they're prophesying according to their own natural mind and own lust of their heart. Well, I believe this. I believe that. Here's what the Lord told me, and the Lord ain't said nothing to them. Because the Lord doesn't say anything to you anymore. God speaks in son. I tell you, that scripture right out of Hebrews. God, who at time past has spoken in diverse manners and all this, but now he only speaks in one place, in his dear Son. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. You know, guys, I don't want to go into all these. I'm trying to get somewhere here. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come. I can tell you guys, this is perfect tense. And what I mean is, it is always in the now. That Jesus is come. That Jesus is come in the flesh now. Not that Jesus walked the shores of Galilee 2,000 years ago. People always say that. Yeah, even the Muslims will say that and call him a prophet. But what this means is Jesus is come. It's presently come now. And everyone that don't confess that is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. People are still looking for this Antichrist, and it's a daggone spirit. And John is writing about it 2,000 years ago and says it's already now in the world. And what world is he talking about? This one over here in the kingdom of light, or this one over here deceiving everybody? It's over here, guys. But you have not received that. You have received of the kingdom of his dear Son. Let me keep on reading. And he says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. They are of the world. Overcome as opposed to what? Being in bondage. You have overcome. Over here they're in bondage, trying to do what? Doing something every day that can bring me closer to God. Doing something every day that I can work my way to heaven. I mean, how many people, guys, and sometimes these things, I just throw them out there, and sometimes I don't mean to be so blunt and so rude, but these things that I got salvation, guys. I got saved when I was 7. Got baptized 3 times, make it take. Had somebody from every religion do it. Now, I'm almost 49. My birthday's coming up. I got a list. Because y'all was wondering what to get me. I need some new socks. Reese cups. Yeah. But see, guys, I got saved when I was 7. And I got the grace of God. But now I've had to spend my life to maintain my salvation. Right? I've had to keep it. I've had to work for it. I've had to do this. And what I found out is salvation has become a heavy burden. Because I've been traipsing along, and all this time I've tried to maintain it. It's either that, guys, or I'm walking in my own self-righteousness, looking around and everybody saying, glad I ain't like Derek here. You know, God, I mean, I've got it going on. Derek's a flat mess. God, I thank you, I'm not like him. Right? The Pharisee come praying that prayer, didn't he? Thank God I'm not like him. I've been going to church since I was 7. Derek was 35 before he joined. Lord, I got 20-some years on him. Whoo, I got 20 years of righteousness built up. See what we do? That's how we go. That's how we go. But ye are not that. Ye have overcome that bondage. And I've overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that's over here in this Antichrist darkness place. Because why? He's light. And in him is no darkness at all. Neither shadow of turning. They are of the world. Therefore they speak. They of the world. The world heareth them. They are up this place. Everyone I hear talking about that stuff. Cindy, you know what I'm talking about. I say the reason their conversation is there is because that's where they're living. They may be confessing to be a Christian over here, but they're living in this world. So what is our profession? Lift up now thine eyes. Lift up thine eyes. See where you are. It will never become apparent where you are until he appears. And then when he appears, you will appear with him. It will become apparent you are where he is. That where I am, you may be also. When he appears, when he appears, he's going to appear in the throne. You'll see him as he is, and you're going to be right there too. And then it's going to become apparent. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Whereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now let me go back here. I'm almost finished. Hurry. Let me hurry up. Now we have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now listen, I went over this. I got to go over it again here real quick. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Guys, salvation is a spiritual thing. But we compare salvation and we say salvation means... And how many religions have got their salvation? Salvation means I'm going to heaven. Salvation means I'm getting a mansion. Salvation means I'm getting a big crown. Salvation means this. Salvation means that. It goes on and on and on and on and on. The only way Paul says that I can bring this out is to take this spiritual thing and show you, bring it face to face with its spiritual intention. Salvation, a thing, but it has a spiritual intention. So unless I can take this thing and compare it face to face with its full intention, you're going to be left over here in the darkness. So what I must do is bring salvation and bring it over here and show you its fullness. Let me show. I really wrote out the Ten Commandments. You know why I had to write them out? Because I didn't know them. I knew where they were, and this is my own version. Have no other gods before me. Right? You know that. Don't make idols. Don't take the name of the Lord God in vain. Y'all know that. I mean, and every time we hear somebody say something, he took the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath. To keep it holy. And that's why we go to church on Sunday, right? Well, Sabbath was really Saturday. Yeah. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal and get caught. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, the one who lets his dog loose in my yard. Don't know how that crap got there. You shall not covet, right? You know what God was doing here? I told you, God was making a decree over his people about one to come. And he's given the personality of this guy. He says, this guy will have no other gods before me. In other words, his heart and his mind will always be about his Father's business. He will make no imaginations. Anyway, Jesus could say, you know what? You're of your father, the devil. I'm from my father. I'm from above. You're from beneath. I don't have to imagine anything about God because he and I are one. Take the Lord, name of the Lord God in vain? I mean, how could he do that? He comes saying, I am the truth. There's no darkness in him at all. Remember the Sabbath? I mean, he comes and says, I am the Sabbath. Everything that your Sabbath spoke to, you thought it was a day. Behold, I am the day of the Lord. I am the rest. God promised you a rest. Learn of me. That is your rest. I am the rest. I am the rest. You see, I shall not bear false witness. He is the true and living witness. Oh, my goodness. Do you see? He was decreeing over them. He was decreeing over them something. Now look at this. Let me show you this here. This is so good. Here in Galatians. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only I would learn of you. Receive you the spirit of the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are you now made perfect in the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you, the Spirit worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same as the children of Abraham. Let me tell you what happened here, guys. Abraham began to see. Just like it was given to Israel, these Ten Commandments that was decreed over them. And they jumped up and said, we'll do it. We'll do it. God never meant for them to do it. As a matter of fact, he was showing them, this is not, you can never do it. What this was meant to do was be like Abraham, who jumps up and says, man, I can never live up to that. I can never do it. This is what the law would do. I mean, the scripture says the law is spiritual. The scripture says that. And he brings us to the point that where sin may abound, the law was given that sin may abound so that you could jump up and say, I can never do it. But Abraham, he lived by faith. Abraham, he saw one that this pointed to. The scripture says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Here's what, when he would compare spiritual things, guys, with spiritual things. You remember Simeon? They've been over here talking about salvation, and here's salvation. And you know what Simeon did? Simeon grabbed up the little baby Jesus. Yes. And he says, my God. He said, I want you to look here. We've been arguing, and I thought salvation was 10 steps and confessing and throwing salt over your left shoulder and hopping up and down on one foot three times, right? Thought that was salvation. But now what he says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Right here it is. It's not a thing you do. It's a thing, a person you behold. Anna was in there too. Anna, she was a widow woman, had been in this temple for years celebrating and worshiping God and all of that. And she began to shout and praise God. And the scripture says she went and spoke of him. Who? This little baby. To all them that desired redemption. What did she say? She said, here's what redemption. Y'all thought redemption was this. Y'all thought salvation was this. And behold him. Behold this child. This is who you have living in you, guys. Salvation lives in you. Righteousness lives in you. You don't have to do a thing to be righteous. The righteousness of God abides in you. The glory of God lives in you. Now, where are we? Where are we in our fellowship? Our fellowship is none other than beholding him. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. What day is that? The day that all of this that was spoke about would be fulfilled. That Jesus not only died on the cross, was buried, but rose again, high and lifted up, sitting on his throne. Where at? Right in his very body, which you are the temple of the living God. See, God, he's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's the God of the living, not the God of the dead. You see what I'm talking about? All right, guys. I'll call it quits right there.